Luke 7, 36-15. In this story, we have two main characters. Of course, we have Jesus, okay? Luke, the writer of this gospel, always wants us to focus on Jesus as the prominent character throughout. But here we have Simon and this so-called sinful woman stepping to the foreground and capturing our attention. I really wish they gave us a name for this woman, but they didn't. So, unfortunately, sinful woman, that's what she will be called. Two people, two main characters that we are called to look at and focus on. And they have things in common. We can presume that both of them have heard of Jesus. We can presume that they've both been to hear him speak. They've been part of a crowd that gathered to hear him teach about the kingdom of God. And of course, the woman, we can presume, has heard him teach and has been so affected by that message that she responds with the actions that we hear about in this passage. And Simon, we can presume that he has gone out and has been part of a crowd that's heard Jesus. And now he's invited him back to his house to hear him in a more intimate setting. They have things in common. That's the first thing. The second thing is that they both make social blunders. They both break social conventions of their day. Simon doesn't offer Jesus any water for his feet, doesn't kiss him on welcoming into his home. He doesn't offer oil for his head. And the sinful woman, she lets down her hair. That was socially unacceptable. It was a great taboo. It would only have been allowed with people that you were related to or her husband. And even the most religiously pious women wouldn't even do that. So here we have someone who's done an outrageous act that is socially unacceptable at the time. Both of them break with social convention and do something socially unacceptable. They have things in common. But of course, as we read further into the passage, we see that there are contrasts. They do differ. So let's read together Luke 7, 36 and 37. It's at the start of our passage. And let's see, as we dig into Scripture, what Luke wants us to notice about the differences between these two people. Luke 7, 36 says this, and I will emphasize, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to the dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Luke wants you to notice that Simon is indeed a Pharisee. He is part of a religious sect of people that follow God's law so strictly, and they want to force almost the rest of the Jewish community to follow this law because they think that will provoke God's coming kingdom quicker. But the Pharisees were also Jesus' main opposition. They were the ones showing up to his teaching and challenging him, questioning him, and trying to get him to trip up and say something offensive. So Luke wants you to notice that he's going to a Pharisee's house because this is a time for potential conflict. This could go wrong. This could be a time that is dangerous both for Jesus and his followers. He wants you to notice that. And now we know that Simon is a Pharisee. We begin to look at what is really internally happening within Simon. It reveals his heart. Firstly, Simon reveals his heart by showing a lack of respect for Jesus as his guest. A host, as I've said, would offer water for his guest's feet. That was because they used to walk around in barefoot or open-toe sandals on dusty roads where animals were the main transportation system. And of course, they poo a lot. So their feet would have been filthy and smelly. And they would have been exposed during meal times as they reclined at the table. It was hygiene. It was to make sure the host and the guests had a good meal, a good time together. They would wash their feet. But Simon fails to do that for Jesus. What does that reveal about the way that Simon thinks about Jesus? A lack of respect? Not worth it? So he's starting to reveal his heart as we read through this passage. He also doubts Jesus and his prophetic gift. So, in verse 39, if you want to look there with me, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he saw that the woman had anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." He doubts that Jesus has this role as a prophet. Perhaps he did think that possibly Jesus was someone special. Or perhaps this is just another time, more evidence for him to gather for the rest of his Pharisees to say, look, Jesus really isn't who he says he is. He's doubting who Jesus is. And finally, near the end of the passage, once Jesus declares that your sins are forgiven in verse 49, Simon's atmosphere at his table, it reveals his heart firstly. The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" They questioned Jesus' revealed identity. He was there to say, "This is my message of the kingdom of God. I am God with you, Emmanuel." And they were like, "No. Only God can forgive. You're not God." I raise every question to try and disown your message, to try and prove you wrong. So three things there: lack of respect, he doubts who Jesus is, and then he questions Jesus' revealed identity, all of which show us that Simon the Pharisee has objections to the message of Jesus and ultimately rejects Jesus himself. He has every opportunity to do as the woman did, but he doesn't. He rejects him. And then in stark contrast, we have this so-called sinful woman who is known in the community for having a bad reputation. We don't know quite what she did. People have speculated, as we were talking about earlier, Chris. But this woman, she shows great honor to Jesus in her worshipful act. Why? Because it was a loving response to the forgiveness that she has received. Yes, it was outrageous. Yes, it was socially shocking. But look at her heart. She has heard the message of Jesus and she has responded with gratitude, with thankfulness, in worship, falling at his feet, doing everything that Simon failed to do. Water through tears, drying with her hair, kissing his feet, anointing with costly perfume, a lavish act of worship. She ultimately showed that instead of objections, she accepted Jesus' message. Indeed, accepted Jesus himself into her life and began to follow him. To the Pharisee and the sinful woman, what a contrast. But now we still have this question, what does it mean for us? Well, I think that Luke, the writer of this gospel, is inviting us to see Jesus' message in all its fullness. He's inviting us to see that the message of Jesus is for the person that we notice in our community is very sinful. That we could easily point out and go, have you heard what she did? Or have you heard what he did? The person who has done shameful things, perhaps committed crimes, perhaps publicly been disowned by our community. The gospel is for them. But it is also for someone, perhaps like me, who has said, I've lived a pretty good life. I've not broken any laws. I've not hurt anyone purposefully, at least. Surely that's enough, isn't it? That's enough for me to get into heaven. The gospel's for those people too. Because the only way to enter the kingdom of God is by falling at the feet of Jesus. And this takes us on to the next step that Luke, the gospel writer, is inviting us to see. He's inviting us into a time of self-evaluation, a time of self-analysis with the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might look upon our sin and see it for what it truly is. See it in all its disgusting filth and acknowledge it in front of Jesus and sit there in that acknowledgement for just a little while. Whether we're the person who can say, like the sinful woman, everyone knows what I've done, or we're that person like the Pharisee, like Simon, who says, I don't necessarily know. He's inviting you to search yourself and to bring your sin before the Lord. But he's also inviting you to take that step further then, to not stay in that place. Luke's inviting us to hear the reassuring words of Christ that he gives to this woman in verse 38. Your sins are forgiven. Once we have acknowledged our sin, seen it for what it truly is, given it to God, we hear the comforting words of our Savior saying, you're forgiven, you're free, I love you, go in peace, have peace with God again. So that's what we're going to offer this morning. I can't make you, I'm not going to force you, but that's what we're going to offer this morning to each and every one of us. A time of confession, and then a time of hearing Christ's words over us saying we're forgiven. In the CEV, we'd call it an absolution. We're not going to have a priest come up and declare it because we've not got a priest here. We've changed some of the words to make sure we're all legal. Don't worry. But I found these words so comforting. When I spend some time really thinking upon my sin and how much I need Jesus, after that time, I find it so reassuring to hear the words of God, your sins are forgiven. So can I invite you now, perhaps, just to close your eyes just for a minute and just begin to think upon the wrongdoing, the sin, the intentional errors, the silly mistakes. To allow those things, allow the Holy Spirit to raise those to the surface, to bring them to the forefront of your mind. And sit there, just for a moment. And bring them to Jesus. It might be uncomfortable. You might be uncomfortable with silence. You might be uncomfortable with looking upon this stuff. We're only here temporarily, remember. And then if you want to, there are some words on the screen that we can say together. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, the good I have left undone. Oh God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. And raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now that we've sat in that place, we've acknowledged sin and seen it for what it truly is, just as the woman did, we hear the words of Jesus over us. So let's hear them as Christ talking to us. Let's declare it over one another and say these words together. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.